welcome to the Feverbee podcast. My name is Katie Kobe, and I'm head of training here at Feverbee Limited. I train community managers in the art of community building using proven social science techniques. In the Feverbee podcast, I'll share tools and techniques that you can use in your daily community management efforts. Listen weekly to get new tips, industry news, and hear stories from guest practitioners to help you become the best community manager in the business. Make sure you subscribe for free updates and review our show notes to get all of the resources mentioned in the podcast today. Show notes are published weekly at communitygeek.com/podcast. Welcome back, everybody. This week, I am pleased to welcome Alex Shebar, Community Director for Yelp London, to our show. Alex is a former reporter turned writer, community manager, and legendary rock star, but without any of the money, fame, or musical talent. He was the first ever community manager for Yelp in Cincinnati, Ohio, and is currently Yelp's London Community Director. Alex works with local businesses and people to show everything useful, grand, and cool in the city. This job often includes eating and drinking around London, which is a very tough job, but someone's got to do it, and Alex thinks he's the man for the job. You can find him on Twitter at Yelp London. So Alex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you were introduced to us by Christy Fedora, who is one of our Community Geek members, and I met her in person finally, and as well as you at Sprint Europe earlier this week.
Yeah, so she's good people.
Yeah, really, really great to have you. And you guys work together on the Community Manager London meetup, is that correct?
Yeah, we started that because we realized that there wasn't anything like it, which is ridiculous in London. There should be something for everybody here. It's a capital city of the world.
Yeah.
But just community managers were doing all these great events and meetups and sort of community building within their own communities. And then we weren't sharing lessons or just getting together to drink, because sometimes all you need is a good drink with another community manager.
Right.
So yes, Christy and I started that, and it's been going really well.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I know you're having a community manager London meetup in March. I will actually be there because I'll still be in Europe.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
I will include the link to the Eventbrite in the show notes. So if anyone here is listening from London or is in the area and wants to make it over, you can easily sign up for that.
Please do.
Perfect. Well, let's jump into the show today. So given your background, I really wanted to focus today's conversation around the concept of like local community building. And by local community building, what I really mean is building an offline community that's located in a specific metro or a very specific city, as opposed to, you know, nationally across the US or nationally across the UK, that sort of thing. So I guess to kick us off, can you share with us what was it like being the first ever community manager for a particular metro for Yelp? Had you been a community manager or organizer at all before?
So to answer the second question first, the answer is no.
Oh,
I started university. I went to Syracuse University in upstate New York in 2004, and that was the year that Yelp was actually founded. So I literally could not have been trained for the job I have now because it didn't exist when I was going to college. That being said, when I was in high school, I was basically doing the same things I was doing now. You know, I was planning parties, I was grouping people together, I was trying to encourage them to check out amazing new locations. And I was kind of wondering if this could be a job, and the answer was no. Of course, this can't be a job. How can planning parties and bringing people together be a job? It turns out, yes, it can be a job. Who knew? but so I had no community experience. I was actually a reporter at a major newspaper in Ohio, and then I was a director of communications for a country club for a little while. But what happened was I wanted to give something back to the city. I was in Cincinnati. It wasn't where I was from. I moved there for a job, and I really loved it. So I started screening the 100 greatest films of all time publicly. It was a project called Watch This. I think you can still see it at watchthisblog.com.
Okay.
And just anybody could join. That was the idea, was just do something where people could come together and love movies and do really interesting stuff. And it grew really naturally. And suddenly we're doing 500-person screenings of the original King Kong on their outside public square, or 300-person screenings of Raiders of the Lost Ark in the theater it premiered in way back when, because Steven Spielberg was from Ohio. And so Yelp saw this, and they saw that maybe I'd make a good community manager. They were looking for somebody. I had Twitter conversations with the hiring manager,
and
that's where it came from. And then I got the job. It was awesome.
So you got the job. You started these amazing meetups around, you know, watching older films. And these, did you just have them at like the public library, or you said in the town square?
So they started in people's houses. That was literally
Wow.
ill. Yeah, because in the Midwest, you can kind of get away with this. You can be like, hey.
I suppose that's fair.
Yeah, come in, strangers, bring food. You can't maybe do that in a major city, but definitely in the Midwest, people are like, oh, yeah, of course. I'll just let strange people into my house and we'll watch movies together.
Perfect.
And it worked really well. But then businesses actually started coming to me because I was growing this, not a giant following, but a strong following.
Yeah.
At least like having people each week showing up. And, you know, if you were a bakery and you were like, come, we'll show a movie at our bakery, and then people buy cupcakes and it works really well for everybody. So suddenly we're doing them at businesses, and then it just grew bigger and bigger. Businesses wanted to do it, and then suddenly we're working with, you know, the local government to show that the one outside, big theater houses to show them. It just, it's one of these things where it was very organic. It was kind of cool. I like physically saw growth, not by advertising, not by anything, but word of mouth. It was great.
That's really neat. And so then Yelp found you. They found you doing your thing, and I actually read an article that you were in as I was doing some research prepping for the show, saying that you actually first communicated with them through Twitter and basically attribute getting hired through Twitter. Is that right?
Easily. Yes, absolutely.
Very cool.
I'd seen the job sort of make its way around, and I wasn't sure, you know, because again, I had no community manager experience, if it was right for me or not. Mm-hmm. And then, the hiring manager, we started chatting on Twitter. She's actually now vice president of Europe, so she's my boss again. She's a wonderful woman named Colleen Curtis.
Great.
Yeah, she's great. But we were just getting chatted, and she thought that it was right for the job because she saw that I had the passion and the dedication and could plan these things and work with local businesses. And, you know, Yelp, it's kind of amazing. You talk to the community managers. We have, I think, over, I don't know, 150 around the world. Mm-hmm. And each one of them comes from an insane background, whether they were reporters or they were marketing people or they were lawyers. We had one of our community managers was NSYNC's former lawyer, which is like a crazy sort of story to have. But yeah, I mean, we all come from these backgrounds where we do the job well, not because we have training in sort of social media or community management or anything like that, but because we love what we do. You know, we love talking to people. We love connecting local businesses with consumers in the community who'd be really interested in what they're doing. We love our city. Like you know, if you're a community manager for Yelp, you have to live in the city you work in. You can't run from major city and be like, oh, we'll do all of the UK from London. It doesn't work. You have to, you know, I'm London's. We have another one in Edinburgh, Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They all live in the city. They all love the city where they work. Yeah.
Interesting. So when you get hired at Yelp and you're the first community manager for
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati,
okay. Ohio.
I wanted to make sure I didn't say the wrong city, though. That would have been awkward. So first community manager for Cincinnati. And granted, you'd already kind of established yourself a little bit with these like movie screenings. But what was really the hardest part about those first few months for you? How did you and I guess maybe this kind of goes back to your movie screening days, too. But how did you get those local businesses to trust you and to be willing to work with you?
Yeah, you know, it's not an easy question, because this is actually something that comes up a lot, is how do I work with businesses who have never heard of me, who don't understand? The idea was that I wasn't selling Yelp. I'm selling community. You know, I'm a big believer that whatever city you're in, whether it's, you know, very medium-sized Cincinnati, you know, giant London, or your tiny little, you know, village somewhere in the suburbs, you're all facing this issue where there are these amazing local businesses who are just not being seen. Because it's so easy to just go to the same local or chain or pub again and again, not because it's amazing, but because it's there and it's familiar and you know exactly what you're going to get. And it's sort of human nature just to be like, I don't know where I'm going to go. I'll just go where I always go.
Mm-hmm.
And my gig was about, let me introduce my community, who are great social media users, but people who are just really looking for new things, to business would be interesting to them. So this is what I was talking to them about. You know, it wasn't like, I'm like, let me, you know, let's work together and it's Yelp in your business and we can just be like Yelp, Yelp, Yelp all the time. It really is, how can we connect the community, which I do really well, with your business, which you do really well. And they got that. They really understood the word of mouth and this power of like friends telling friends telling friends. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the key, is that I'm in a very lucky position as this community manager. And I think that there are other community managers out there who are the same, where I don't sell anything. I'm not sales. I'm not advertising. My job is simply to connect and grow the community, which makes my job, you know, when I can go to a business and not require them to spend any money. We really can work together without sort of a cash need. So that works out really well.
Right. There's that. There's no like awkwardness around. Okay. No, well, what are you selling? Yeah. Yeah.
Because as soon as you bring up any money, it changes the dynamic of a relationship.
Oh, completely.
You can. Yeah. You it's either you're building authentically or you're building for cash. I mean, that's they do not go together. And that's okay because each one has its own separate, unique, interesting role. But as a community manager, to bring in money, I think defeats the purpose of trying to build community.
Mm-hmm. That totally makes sense to me. Well, what then, what strategies have you been able to repeat, you know, from Cincinnati and then bring into London? Are there any particular, you know, core ideas? And maybe these could be ideas that you've seen from your fellow community manager colleagues in different metros, but are there any specific strategies that just like seem to work regardless of where you are?
Yeah. I think that, and people disagree with me on this. I was just at Sprint Europe where they were talking about sort of the need to connect with so many people. And I semi disagree with this. Mm. The best strategy I've ever seen for community, especially when they're starting out and they're really trying to get the, you know, what they're doing out there, trying to get themselves a little more attention, is to go niche. And it may be different in other cities, but at least in a city specific like London, where there's so much white noise, there's so much going on that it's hard no matter what you are to break ahead. The best strategy I've ever seen is to get people who are absolutely in love with what you're doing, who are insanely crazy about it. They get it. They believe in it. They want to be part of it. And they tell all their friends, their family, tell everybody. I mean, you know, fan, like a fan of something, the keyword comes from fanatic. I mean, you can't be a fan without that, like, insane passion, at least like a true diehard, you know, mm-hmm. till the death fan. And that's what I've seen has worked really well, is that when you build a product for somebody who really needs what you're doing and wants to tell everybody about it, and it spreads wonderfully. One of key examples is an app called City Mapper that Yelp is now actually partnered with because we love them so much. City Mapper,
I just learned about this app.
It is the best. And if you're in a city with City Mapper, download it immediately because they do, it's a transport app. It tells you how to get where you're going. Whether it's driving, walking, buses, whatever it happens to be. And they do it better than anybody mm-hmm. I've ever seen, because it gives you, you know, exactly what time the next bus is coming, how many minutes it's going to take to walk there, what your steps are to get to where you're going. It's the easiest transport app I've ever seen. And for years, I was, you know, in love with this, and no one was using it. And I kept trying to like shove it in people's faces going, why are you not using this app? And then suddenly I like turn around and everybody's using it. Mm-hmm. And it was just this moment where like, you know, it felt sort of like an overnight success, but of course it wasn't. It was people like me just like shoving it into everybody's face because it was something that they absolutely could use. So I think that's what City Mapper did really well, is they didn't like try to target all of London right away. They just were like, here, this is an app. We're targeting, we're sort of introducing this to people who, you know, have complained about transport in the past, who we think are good sort of, you know, mobile users who are out all the time. We'd love you to try it out. And then it just spread organically. Because I think that if you try to build a product basically around a community rather than for a community, you're going to fail off the bat because you don't know what these communities want. You don't ask them. You're just like, well, all of London could use my product. Well, right. How do you know all of London could use your product? So I'm a big believer in like very targeting niche groups who are very passionate about what you're doing and letting them help spread the word for you.
Okay. It's a very good takeaway. So target the niche groups and let them do their thing.
Exactly.
And get them like really very, you know, fanatic and very excited about what you're doing, what your idea is, and almost, I always like to think of like a snowball turning into an avalanche when I think of that kind of analogy. Like you start at the top and you've got like a few people who are really excited and it's a small little thing and all of a sudden it just, you know, at some point becomes huge.
I really do believe that, you know, if you target these people who are really into what you're doing, it will grow. And you may not see, you know, all of London today, but maybe a year, maybe 2 years. Well, if you were just trying to target everybody, it would take forever. You know, who knows if you would ever hit that group of audience who would actually passionately be interested in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've seen has actually worked interestingly, at least.
Yeah. It's sort of like trying to hit a gnat with a cannonball too, I guess. Yeah. Another analogy. Like if you're trying to target everyone, I don't know. I just haven't seen that strategy work very successfully myself.
Well.
So, well, fair enough. Well then let's go back to you're talking about like, you know, how can party planning and bringing people together and like building these groups, how can this really be a job? And so it's amazing that it is. And so I guess I'm sort of curious around, you know, that question you probably get asked every day, what like success looks like. I've personally heard from many community managers that when they run events, especially, you know, like local events, they don't really know how to measure whether the event did well or not, aside from just being like, you know, 37 people showed up. Yep. So what insight can you share here?
Well, I will tell you honestly that while the events are a fun part of my job, they are not the key elements of my job. Mm-hmm. I mean, they matter because I think that the merge between online and offline cannot be understated at this point. You know, 5-10 years ago when we thought we could be different people on the internet and hide behind screen names and avatars, it wasn't as important. But today, your online and your offline persona are merging. If they're not completely merged already, in the next 5-10 years, they will be completely merged. Yeah, I mean, you can't. So I think it is really important to take a community, especially if you're, you know, as we're talking about today, a very hyper-local neighborhood community where you live and work in the neighborhood you're trying to target and you want people to actually come together. They can meet for coffee. They can meet for movies. They can meet for parties. It's important to show that they are real people. I get people all the time at my Yelp events who are like, oh yeah, I know you. Not really. I just kind of know your picture and views, but I do know you. And then they're like, okay, cool. And that was weird feeling. Like I remember my first tweet up, you know, what was this, a decade? Now probably maybe 5-8 years ago, and it was so weird to run into people who like I just knew by a screen name and knew by tweets, and now you meet people all the time who are like, oh yeah, I know you on Twitter, you're awesome, I mean, we can be friends because we already talked on Twitter.
Totally. I've met some of my best friends on Twitter.
Right. And it's a completely new, so the events are important, and getting more and more people at events and getting them interested, you know, that is a nice benchmark of success. The fact that, you know, a year ago I had X amount of people RSVPing for an event, and this year I have double that of many, and it was the exact same event, and you're like, great, that's awesome. And then of course there are always the metrics that people use for success. You know, are more people visiting your site, are more people engaging? Those ones are easy to look at too. That's always a nice number. But for me, and to be completely honest, success is it is hard to measure, but it's almost content based. You know, am I reading the site and I'm seeing more people posting reviews today, and are they better reviews? Are they not one-line reviews? Are they, you know, detailed paragraph longs where people are actually involved? Am I reading these reviews where people are like, I can't believe I haven't written, you know, this Yelp review yet, but here it is. And I'm like, all right, you know, there's a reason you hadn't written that Yelp review. You weren't ready for the community yet. But suddenly something has changed and you're like, I actually feel like I can belong. I can actually post. Because there's that, you know, old adage. And again, we talked about it at Sprint and on how accurate it is. But the majority of people are reading, not writing, at least on a site like Yelp, whether it's 99% to 1% or whatever the numbers actually happen to be. But it is still very obvious that most people are lurkers, to use that term. And if I'm converting more of them into active members of the community, that's a success. And I see it everywhere. I can see it on Twitter. If I'm getting more replies, more likes, more, you know, people instead of just reading that tweet, actually engaging with the tweet, you know, are my community more engaged today than they were yesterday? Again, a little hard to measure, but if you're on your website, if you're with your community day after day, it's very apparent. You can absolutely see it. And it feels like success, which is great.
Yeah, it's a lot more, you know, qualitative and anecdotal.
Yeah.
But it's true that when you are, especially, you know, being in a local community, you're obviously seeing the same people over and over, right?
Sure.
People don't just like move cities or move neighborhoods that often. So you start to recognize, if you're focused at the city or even neighborhood level, you start to recognize and see the same people over and over and over. And, yeah. Oh, that's Mr. Jones.
And when they do move, they actually feels bad. Like you're like, oh, they were a part of my community and now they're not. And actually
feels
like something is missing.
Yeah.
I know. Sometimes people do have to leave. I know. But like it does. It like exactly the same thing. You recognize people and they become part of it. And when they leave, you're like, there's like a little hole. And that's great because it means the community is working and everybody is playing like a really interesting part where everybody feels validated. Everybody feels part of the community. They feel like they do belong there because they do belong there. And then it's sad when they leave.
I could totally see that. All right. Well, that's really good. I mean, I really enjoy qualitative analysis myself. And really, I personally have always liked to look at using what people have been saying in the community as a way to like tell a story and to give more of like a face behind some of the numbers more than just like, you know, time on site and things like that. So it's a really good point that you bring up there. So do you think that every online community out there should be working to build community at sort of like a local, in-person, local level?
Well, no. I mean, if you are a giant corporation and you're like selling vacuums, and you know, you're working across the thing. I don't think you need to have vacuum meetups. A lot of that can be done in forums and people talking about new products and new brands and anything sort of along the lines of that. However, if you then can appoint somebody to like meet up over coffee, and they can actually get together and discuss in person, it's not a bad thing. You know, it puts faces to names, to pictures, to screen names, everything along the lines of that. I think there can be a physical portion to any community, but whether or not it needs to be your key focus, I don't think so. I mean, I'm a big believer that, you know, as crazy as this might sound to some people, I don't think every company needs Twitter and Facebook. I think every company should try Twitter
Amen.
And Facebook. I know. I mean, if you're trying it, no one is replying, no one is following you, nobody cares, and they're all, you know, making videos on YouTube or posting on TalkThreads or they're just not using it, stop using it. Like, don't waste your time just because everybody else is doing something. If it doesn't work for your community, don't do it. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I'm a big believer in trying everything once, maybe even trying everything twice. You know, if you can find that your community does want to meet up, you know, find somebody, you know, travel to where they are. If you've got a really big collection, if you are running all the UK and you know that like in Manchester, they're really dedicated, go to Manchester, hang out with them for a little while. They really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, if they really are a community where like, we only like this talk thread, we really only want to talk here, then don't force it.
Right.
I need to be there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I guess along those lines, what are some of, aside from like forcing your community to do something they don't want to do, what are some of the other like really bad things that a community manager could try and do when they were, when they're trying to build on a local level? So don't force it is obviously a big one, but any other sort of big, like, no, don't do that.
Sure. Well, I'm not a giant believer in contests. I think that they're an interesting way to sort of, much like advertising, get people to notice you. And if that's your goal, great. But if you're like, oh my God, we're going to get 1,000 people off this iPad giveaway and they're going to be the most involved, engaged people ever. Good luck. I don't know why I went John Wayne on you there too.
That's fabulous.
Oh my God. but I mean, like, that's exactly it. Like, contest people, they're very excited for your contest. And as soon as it's over, they're excited for whoever's contest is next. It's not going to be you. And I think that like, a lot of community managers are like, yeah, we can do something like big and flashy and exciting. And then get nothing back from it. And that actually goes for anything that's kind of like, and I see it a lot of time in London where they do like guerrilla marketing or fun, something that's like really exciting and cool. And the media are covering it and it's great for that month. And then they do nothing afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get an email back. I'll sign up for like a really fun, you know, mini golf cafe, which is a thing in London. I signed up and I'm part of it. And I came once and I've heard nothing from them. And I was like, they're closing soonish. And I don't know what they were doing next. I've gotten no engagement, no involvement. I thought the idea was cool. I think that they're guys with interesting ideas. I'd like to support or help or at least check out whatever they're doing next. I don't know what they're doing next. I've gotten nothing from them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a mistake where you do something interesting and fun and then don't capitalize on people who are excited about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You have a fan base now. Use it.
Right.
And that's sort of an issue of the sort of spot advertising, whether it is actually physical advertising or you know, physical guerrilla marketing advertising. There's no building community off of that. And that's sort of upsetting. And then I also see a lot of community managers use their social media as, you know, a megaphone, just screaming at people, whether it's like advertising their product or advertising, you know, something they're doing, and there's no engagement or there's no fun. I mean, there's just a lack of excitement. You read these brands and like, you're like, who cares? Why are you talking only about, you know, your Burger Monday every single Monday when you're not showing any pictures of the burgers or like people having fun eating burgers or like, I don't know, anything. Like, you could just put even little emojis of burgers. Like, that's cute. Like, anything but this advertising you're doing all the time. You know, the word social is right there in social media, right in front. Be social.
I want to see someone at one of those burger places build like a log cabin out of fries. Or chips. I guess that's what they're called here, chips.
Chips, yes, they are. Yep. Something funny like that, where especially if you work for the brand and you're in the brand all the time. I mean, I get it when like a PR is running your social media and they can't be in the restaurant, but even then they can still post things that are not just it's about the restaurants. But right. if you are working physically in a location, you have fun, cute things that you can do, do fun, cute things. Like the more that you can sort of show that you're a real person. And there's a reason that my Twitter and my Facebook profile are a picture of me. Even on Yelp London, it's, you know, Alex S. Yelp London. Mm-hmm. And it's my picture because I want people to know that I'm real, that I'm not a robot, that I'm not a service in San Francisco, where our headquarters is. They can meet me. I'm happy to go out for coffee. I mean this honestly. Anybody listening, you want to do a coffee? Done. Let's do it. We'll talk. It doesn't even have to be about anything like community manager. I just like talking with people. It's not the most, you know, macro spread over the entire city kind of way of marketing. But again, to prove that I'm a real person, that Yelp is filled with real people, is something that cannot be understated. I think it's what sets us apart from other similar sites where it really just is about, like, you write a review, somebody reads a review, there's no engagement. Yelp is all about real people with real reviews, talking, communicating, meeting. It really should be this community where, like, you sort of feel like you know the person who's writing this review, even if you haven't met them. That's what I want to be. Yeah.
And I think it really just goes back to, you know, just the real basic fundamentals of being humans. I think you kind of learn in, like, kindergarten, preschool, you know, be friendly, talk with people,
be nice.
Share yeah. things. And and yeah, and it's still so, so surprising how many organizations are getting it wrong on that particular level. And it's not that hard. I mean, I'm sort of thinking about our conversation that we've been having so far. And I realized that it's like, you know, building community at a local level certainly, you know, has its challenges tactically. But when you look at it as an overall strategy, it's not that hard to, like, comprehend. It's really,
it's
you just, yeah, you just need to, like, go out and execute, basically.
Yeah. Treat people like people instead
people
of like
the
numbers.
Way you want to be treated. Like, there's a good one.
You want to be treated. It's exactly it. Like, think about the last message you got from a website, and was it like a form letter, or was it like an automated, like a real somebody sat down and wrote this message? I actually post in my messages sometimes, I'm not a robot. If you write me back, I will write you back. This is a message written for you. And, you know, it's funny. And every time I tell that to people are like, ah, it's funny. But, like, when you get that message, you're like, oh, this is not a robot. This actually is a person. I'm going to mm-hmm. test them. And mm-hmm. they do write me back. And I do write them back. And then we get a conversation going. So while it's ridiculous, I have to say that too many websites are doing it so, you know, and it goes all the way back to, like, MySpace, where everybody was friends with Tom. So yeah. no one was friends with Tom. Like, I mean, that's it was built on a very bad foundation of, like, let's mass market all our users all the time. It's like as many automated things as we can, and then you lose this humanity, and that's really sad.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's maybe focus on a more positive side of this then.
Yeah.
Aside from Yelp, obviously, which companies and organizations out there do you think are really, like, nailing their local community building efforts? What are some other models that some of our listeners can look up to?
Sure. I mean, there's lots of ones who do it sort of nationally and then locally. Like the app Untapped, I thought is a really good example.
Ooh, Untapped? I don't think I've heard of them.
Untapped is a beer app.
Untapped. Okay.
Untapped. Yes. They are probably the best beer social networkers because you instead of checking into a place, you check into a beer that you love.
okay.
So you get to show the different types of beers that you're drinking, and you share them with people who also love beers. And, you know, some people go on, like, road trips just so they can go to a brewery so they can try a specific beer so they can, you know, check in and have tried that beer. Mm-hmm. And it was such a unique experience where I was like, or an idea where it's easy to, like, be like, oh yeah, I was at this location or I did this thing, but to be like, these people love beer so much, they want to share which beer they're drinking with everybody they know. Let's give them a way to do that. And I was like, that's such a cool, interesting idea. Really, really fun. Another one is, you know, I learned all about Dan and his Hootsuite ambassadors. And I thought yeah. that was a great idea of people who are really into social media and want to connect with people who love social media. And these they give them the right training and they give them the right, you know, specialness. They give them little badges and swag to give away. And they make them feel really special because they are special. They're users who love their product so much. They want to tell everybody about it. They're just so into it. And Hootsuite appreciates that. Not in a way where they're being, you know, paid or prized or forced into doing it. But they go, listen, you guys are great. We love what you're doing locally. We can't be everywhere locally. We want you to be our sort of eyes and ears on the ground. And you can represent us. You can be our ambassadors. And if I find anything from Yelp, it's that, you know, if people are going to do this hard work and they're going to put in all their time and effort and love into the site, and you can go, hey, we appreciate that. We really do love you for doing this. It's it means the world. And I'm not saying in a cheesy, like, oh my God, you guys are great. Like, ugh, like don't be cheesy about it, but actually appreciate the fact that you have people who love you as much as you love what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I can't understand that. I understate that. Cause you know, as a community manager, I can stand on a soapbox and yell about Yelp for hours. But if one of my top users, my Yelp elites, they go to their friends and they go, hey, have you seen this site? This is what it does for me. I really love it. I think you should use it too. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes sometimes. It's just, you know, having a trustworthy site.
Yeah.
There's a source of information. So I think those are two really good examples of people who are doing it interestingly.
Yeah. Those are good ones. I love Hootsuite's HootUp programs. I think that they're fantastic. And the way that they support their users. I'll see, actually, Elizabeth Houston also works for Hootsuite in North America, and she actually spoke at our Sprint USA event a few months ago, and there was a video she referenced about the HootUp. So I'll see if I can throw that into the show notes for everyone. Yeah. But interestingly enough, at one point before we wrap up, is on that notion of trust, and like sometimes all it takes is having a peer or a friend come and tell them, like, you know, check out this site. It does all this really great things for me.
Yes.
I was doing some research for my workshop for Sprint, and I did a workshop all around kind of like influence and building your influence skills and charisma and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I really looked at, like, you know, why is this stuff important? And it's really important because people like need trust. And right now businesses don't do a lot of trust. So I stumbled across the latest Edelman Trust Barometer. Do you ever read that survey?
I've seen it. I don't know if I've seen the latest one, though. Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah, they do. I love them because they've been doing this survey globally since the year 2000.
Sure.
And interestingly enough, and not surprisingly, since 2008, trust in business and governments has been in a, you know, complete like downward spiral.
Shocking. I'm shocked to hear this.
Yeah, completely shocked. But one of the graphs that I had that I was looking at, it said something that like only 40 or 43% of the survey respondents actually trusted when communication or information came from a company's CEO.
Sure.
So like someone who's like, yeah, you know, your complete leader of your company, supposedly the face of the company, only 43% of people out there maybe trust them. Whereas the whole, you know, people like me, this sort of persona has emerged over the last 3 years, and it's close to, I think it's close to like 80% trust. People are going to trust things that their friends say. So it's like, yeah, if you get your, you know, your top users or your ambassadors, as Hootsuite calls them, to really start sharing, if they actually are just authentically sharing the love about what you do and what your site does, because you in return have treated them really well, then that's, yep, like the best marketing that you can buy, and that can't be replicated.
No. We have a similar program at Yelp called the Yelp Elites.
Uh-huh.
And to become elite, everybody's always asking me, what are the qualifications? You know, do I have to write a certain amount of reviews? Do I have to post them a certain amount of photos? And the answer is there are no qualifications.
Mm.
because it's kind of like that old Supreme Court justice quote where he goes, I can't describe pornography, but I know when I see it.
Yeah.
those are my Yelp Elites. Supreme Court justice pornography. But they really do have to prove themselves to be authentic, right, and fun and writing great reviews and you know, being helpful on the website. And if they do all these things, then they get their nice little red badge on their profile. It makes all their friends jealous, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then we do events that are just for the Yelp elites to come together. And, you know, we've done behind the scenes tours of Wicked, where we met the actresses who played the witches, or a Halloween event in London's oldest bone museum. Yeah. So we hung out with real skeletons on Halloween. The idea is both to introduce them to great local businesses they haven't heard. And it can be something like Wicked, which is a chain, but it's very local to London, and it's interesting. And although it feels touristy on one level, it's absolutely part of London's city soul. So we do these things that really actually work really everything together. And then because they're elites, people can see their badges. They can see that, hey, they, you know, Yelp has singled them out as somebody who may be a little more trustworthy to listen to, or at least their reviews are consistently non-biased, and it matters.
Because mm-hmm.
You mentioned, you know, studies like this. Nielsen does a similar study where they look at what information do people trust. And obviously, the top was friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And then below it was local review websites like Yelp, which is cool.
Yeah.
But then below that was media articles and branded websites. And you're like, wow. and that's very scary for these business owners if they're doing their job poorly. But if they're doing it well, it means that, you know, the information they're putting on their website is fine. But what's more trusted is, you know, my opinion, your opinion, everybody who's listening opinion. That's what people are actually going to, listening to, making their decisions off of. It's a very it's a fascinating time that we live in, where you, listener to this amazing podcast, as a consumer, are more important, what you're saying, than any amount of sort of like newspapers of testimonials on their websites. You're what matters. That's awesome. And you have a voice. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't using that voice right now. They're still relying on others. But you can tweet, you can Facebook, you can blog, you can Yelp, you can do anything. And that's what this whole thing's about. And more importantly, as we're pulling this back to community, you can then find people who feel the same as you. And this is true about anything. It doesn't just have to be on Yelp and restaurants and stores and doctors. It can be reviews for products you use or food you love or anything. And there are other people who feel exactly the same. Connect with them and find a community who loves you as much as you love them. That's the best advice I can give for you as a consumer.
Fair enough. Well, that's a fantastic point to wrap us up on. And thank you just so much for joining us today, Alex. I've learned a ton, especially about, you know, the Yelp program. I'm not super familiar with it in my own personal side of me on the internet. Sure. And so it was really great to learn more.
Oh, give it a go. You'll like it.
Yeah. I think I maybe have like 24 reviews or something.
24s are good. That's a great start. Yeah.
But no, it was really fantastic getting your insights. And I really do think that local community building is such an art. Like there's just such a, you know, fantastic way to do it. And a lot of it does come from this, you know, gut instinct of just really treating people really, really well and being genuinely and authentically interested, invested in their success. So
you can't fake. Yeah. Like you just can't, no matter like how much you think you can, that it's very apparent when you're faking authenticity. I mean, it's funny, but it's true. Right. You just can't fake it.
It's very, very true. So, well, thank you so much again. And for everyone out there who's listening, if you like this episode, make sure you visit communitygeek.com/podcast to review the show notes. Also, you are welcome to post a review on iTunes or Stitcher. I worked really hard to get the podcast on Stitcher right before I left the US. So go check it out there. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you all enjoy the rest of your week. Take care.
Take care.